Happy, happy, happy February. Happy, happy, happy Black History Month. Welcome to the BTST podcast, meeting you where you are. My name is Jan Desper Peters, and I am your host. Today, we have some very special people that are joining me today, namely our CEO of BTST, Chris Simon.
What's going on? Feels good to be back on this thing, you know?
It feels good to be back.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like an interview. Today, I'm co-hosting with you, huh?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, he's the co-host today?
Yeah, he's co-hosting today. He's co-hosting today.
So I used to be the host with, it was me and Jada, and we used to host this thing together. And we met a phenomenal talent and individual. It was like, we're going to come off this thing and let her just...
Let her do it.
Let her do her own thing. But sometimes she asks me, we have conversations about, you know, me wanting to just jump back in and...
Just like riding a
be
bike.
There. Yeah, right. Just hop back in and be a part of the whole situation. So I
Plus,
was...
Plus, I think Chris misses calling. He's also a comedian.
Oh, is he?
He is.
Is he
funny?
Oh, man. Jokes.
I got to watch out today then, huh?
Yeah, so this feels good.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So, you got to let me know when not to lead and not to, you know, because I'm so used to, I'll take over and start leading the
conversation. We have to have a safe word, like pineapples, and then you'll know that means.
Yeah, I'll step on your toes in this dance move, you know, if you're leading, I'm leading.
Right. No, I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, we will feel each other's vibe and energy, and we'll be okay.
Vibe, you know that word now?
Yeah, I do know that word now.
You've been hanging around that too long.
Look, I know. They're trying to do some age discrimination over here.
Jan, talk about vibe now.
I'm probably the oldest person here.
Listen, I always go like the young folks. Keep me young.
Right.
Just tell it to me.
Right.
Jan would have used another word. Now she was like, "Yeah, you know the vibe. We got to vibe off each other and everything." I'm like, "All right, Jan."
Right, when I start saying that's what's up,
yeah,
okay,
you're gonna go home. Your husband's gonna be like, "Who are you?
Where is my wife? Bring her back tomorrow. Right? Let me see what we can do today."
I know.
But this has been good, Jan. I'm glad that I'm able to be on here with you and, you know, just talking about things. How it's February.
It's February.
It's a good month.
It's Black a good History month. Black History Month.
Speaking of Black History Month,
okay, go ahead.
We got these magazines sitting right here in front
of
us.
Exactly, and I have one open.
Baltimore Magazine, the Black History Month magazine.
Is this a local magazine?
Yes,
you got to school me.
Yeah, it's a local magazine for Baltimore.
Okay.
And our own COO, executive director, Jada McCray, was featured in the Baltimore Magazine
as
Women Who Moved Maryland. So we got to do it big for her.
That was
awesome. Yeah.
That was
Rock, we're going to need you to add like the sound effects and the clapping and everything to the back of that. Like the crowd goes wild.
Jada.
Like Jordan just hit the three. So Jada is in the magazine.
Looking great.
Yes.
So just so that people will know what the third voice is, I just want to say who's sitting at the table with us. Spirit.
I'm not a comedian.
Nor a psychic.
Right.
No.
Because you remember when Janae.
I can't tell you where you're Janae ringing
first, is. Janae was like, "Yeah, I know Spirit. She's on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show as a psychic." I'm like, "No."
Like, don't conflate those. I am on the show.
Yes.
But I'm not a psychic.
She
don't send me your birthday.
I said, "That's Spirit Wayne, Janine."
Yes,
that's not
there
psychic
you go.
Spirit.
That's my
Wayne.
Buddy Wayne. Right. I call him. He shuffles the cards.
I guess she just felt like the spirit psychic thing all went hand in hand. You know, like
I get it all the time. I would get people in my inbox. Dwayne, his name is Jackie. My birthday is August 1st, 1957.
We're supposed to be together?
Exactly.
Talk
to me about how you fight. There you go. Talk to me about how
you
fight.
Session, but if you all are supposed to be together, I don't know about that part.
Mm-mm. Right. Mm-mm. So let me just say that Meeting You Where You Are podcast is leveling up when we can have Spirit.
Did she just say leveling up?
Leveling
she did.
Up.
Next she's going to say it's lit.
And she gonna, I know, right? Janet took this thing from CNN to BT.
Hello.
In a matter of episodes.
I love it. She leveled
up. Well, you
up.
Know, I mean, you
and
know,
she got the bun, the 90s deal going
right.
on.
Looking real sexy.
I know, right?
My messy bun look.
Oh, okay.
She know about the messy bun, too?
She ready. She's like, "Oh, we talk about a topic I like. I'm
Come
coming
on.
Ready.
Follow her. See where she hanging out at night. I love it.
She here for it.
Right. Well, the reason I said we're leveling up, because when we can have the likes of Spirit on our podcast, and
she's been
on the Steve Harvey Show and the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, and I'm going to let her tell you about this new project that she's working on. But
before she talks about that
project,
we're talking about the thing she was on, and then I read, what were you doing on divorce court?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I worked with Judge Lynn Toler on divorce court on a couple of episodes. Like, so anything that's
mental
health.
They needed, like, therapy or something
for the clients? Yeah, there was one client in particular, if I remember the story correctly. They were getting divorced, but the wife was dealing with anxiety. Okay. And so, you know, as a mental health professional, we can inform all over the place. So my job was to work as a forensic mental health evaluator. And so I was able to advise the judge on what mental health conditions look like so she could take that into consideration as it relates to their divorce.
Was it like, were they trying to say that she had anxiety, like she couldn't get the kids or
she
something
could,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that she couldn't leave her house. That was part of the reason why he wanted to divorce. She wasn't the same woman that
she
used to be.
Oh, she was trying to keep the house. She was like, I got anxiety. I can't leave this house.
Well, you know, it was.
I need that.
It was judge.
I can't leave the bank either. I got anxiety. I need them to keep it all here.
Right. She wasn't anxious enough not to know what half meant.
Yeah.
Listen.
I need half.
That part. And then let's talk about alimony and child support
right,
and
right.
move up. Hello.
And then now you need it. After you finish that, you need it. He needed counseling for depression.
You see where this goes.
Yeah.
But it's about oftentimes, you know, really they say divorce court, but it's really seeing if you can help people stay together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just read that. I was like, hold on, so was she actually on the show or was she just working on the show?
Working on the show. You know, as a therapist, we're blessed enough to be able to do a lot of different things.
Right.
So one of my certifications is that I'm a certified forensic mental health evaluator. So custody considerations, mental health evaluations, all of those kind of things.
That's true, because you do have like a whole alphabet behind your name.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
You know, we got some letters, but it's really about just, for me, it's about what is it that I want to do and then what does it require in order to be able to do that.
Gotcha.
So we mentioned in the very beginning about Black History Month. So I just wanted to just have you all kind of vibe off of, use my word again. I'm not going to overuse it, though.
We're going to count it. You
right,
want to get
right,
three.
Okay, right, okay. Vibe off of what we are
and
celebrating.
And emotions now.
Celebrating
Black
History Month.
Yeah, she's snatching air.
So I've said before what a beautiful set that BTST has given me.
It's
and
gorgeous.
This podcast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm so proud of is our photograph wall. And one of the people on our photograph wall,
me.
I just want to, yeah, you are on
there.
Yeah, he's up there a couple of times.
Okay,
Yeah. But one of the people that I requested be on the wall is Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. And Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, of course, was a very noted psychiatrist. We lost her in 2016, but she is very much known for her work as it relates to doing psychoanalysis around racism and her work specifically in the ISIS papers. So I just wanted to give Dr. Frances Kress Welsing a shout out and give her props.
Thank you, sis.
During Black History Month, because she just was a trailblazer, even when people were, you know, not really feeling what she was saying as it related to racism and white supremacy. And so Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, we honor you today during Black History Month.
Amen. Oh, Jan, that's nice. You sound like the Tom Joyner Morning Show used to have the person that do the little known Black History Fact.
Little known Black History Fact, right. Okay. And I actually was going to say that because there's this meme going around that I'm black, but in this month I'm blackity black black. So
I haven't seen this yet.
So I just wanted to give my blackity black black fact.
I got you. Got the facts.
Yeah.
But we also have some black talent here as well today. A sister that's doing her thing, pioneering this thing. Like when I would talk to our content creating people, staff, and we have our goals, and it's like, you know, media and content is very big for us, and it's been very big for us because it allows us to be able to tell our story in a way that we want to tell it in, to be able to market and promote our business. And a field where a lot of things has been operating like off of an obsolete paradigm or an obsolete model where, you know, I always go back to this, that we use paper forms. People use paper forms and paper intake packets and all this other stuff. And it's like the world is so much more advanced than social work, mental health, you know? But for some reason, we've just been stagnant. So I've seen that as a weakness in the field, and I started implementing media and video, YouTubes, and just everything that we did years ago. One, to show what we did, because there were a lot of people that would say, oh yeah, refer to us, we do this, we do that, and they didn't really do it. So I got tired of it. I'm like, well, you know what, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show you how we do it via video, and we're going to brand and market ourselves ahead of everybody else. So now, in order for them to do, I mean, to catch up, they actually have to do the work once. Then they got to find somebody to be the videographers. And typically they come back to us for those same things. But just creating content and telling our story was so important. And it still is to our day, to today. Same reason why you've worked sometimes to have Jada on the radio shows.
Right.
And we're on the news, and we contribute to different things, and we're sitting on different boards.
Speak at conferences.
As the A3C conference and the Taraji P conference that we partner with them for. That's all very, very, us producing the films that we were just talking about is very important. And it's still very important for us because we want to create a brand of individuals within our organization that not only provide services and manage that part of it, but are personalities in this space. Because it's going to happen. It's going to be a tidal wave of it, and it's already starting, and it's coming. But what the lady that's sitting with us is she's doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's doing part of the things that we aspire to do and create as a brand. You know, we're not talking about just going online every Friday, which she does a phenomenal job at doing. We're talking about TV shows on OWN, Oprah's network.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Steve Harvey's TV show.
Right.
Ricky Smiley, nationally syndicated stuff. Mm-hmm. We're talking about these national platforms and them. Even down to T.I. and Tiny, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about all of these platforms and media outlets where she's been able to use her talent, where she's phenomenally talented at. Like, I don't know why her timeline, her posting always comes up around like 7 o'clock at night for me, and when it's always at the top of my thing, and I see it, and I'm like, that's just what I needed right there. Like, she's always hitting with the memes, but being able to be this phenomenal, take her skill and market it on a media platform to be a rock star of mental health, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And still maintain a practice. Like, that is something
that
we should just definitely.
Phenomenal to me to know that you have a full-time practice as well, because you know the importance of even the people that may not know you, but the people that have become accustomed to you.
Yeah.
And then it would be probably devastating for you to say, well, I'm not really seeing clients anymore.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I get that even now with the new show, and we'll, you know, talk about that. But I have clients going, I know you're going to leave me, right? Are you going to leave me? And so it's the constant reassurance that says, I was a therapist before anything. I'll be a therapist before it's all said and done.
Yeah.
So.
But being able to do all of that and build a practice, I think that is something that should definitely be recognized, honored, and awarded. So from me, from BTSC to you, we recognize what you're doing, and we're proud to be friends, proud to be associates in the business world, you know what I mean, in the mental health space. And I get motivated, you know, I get motivated watching what you're doing. So when you think that, you know, when nobody is watching, or when you got to take those last minute flights and get here and get there and get home and still try to be a mother and a wife and all that other stuff in the midst of working, and it seems tedious and you question why you do it. Is the squeeze worth the juice? Is the financial reward worth all of this as well?
Mm.
It motivates other people that are watching you as well. So,
thank you.
Just want to start that Black History
juice.
Thing.
Right. Well, hallelujah. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, now back to our regularly scheduled
program.
Where's the cleaning?
Yes.
Right, goodness.
Right. So Spirit, one of the reasons, well, there are lots of reasons why we wanted to have you here today, but one of the reasons that we wanted to ask you to come be on the podcast was because we actually are hosting you tomorrow.
Yes.
At our monthly Nails, Toes, and Convos. And for those of you who don't know what Nails, Toes, and Convos is, it's a concept that was originally created by Chris Simon. And we decided that in addition to what we do here at BTST, we would partner with the owners of Selfish Spa, which Chris and his wife are owners of that establishment as well.
I'm going there next.
Yes. And because we know that it's important not only to be concerned about your outer beauty, but equally or more important to be concerned about what's going on the inside. So
for
we
sure.
married the two, and we have this monthly conversation with a different topic. And since this is the love month, who better for us to bring to kind of, you know, give us information, tools, and tips, and answer any question that you have on love, communication, and sex.
Say it loud for the people in the back.
Sex.
It's always like a cliche word. Like, people don't want to talk about it.
It's so, let me tell you, and it's so funny that you say that, because I literally started my radio career in 2003. So a lot of people don't know this, right? But my very first radio show was a sex talk show. And my very first conversation was, why is sex talk in the black community so taboo? Mm-hmm.
How do you get cast? I mean, we've had this conversation previously, but I don't ever know if I asked this. How do you get cast to be on a sex show? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you have to go, like, is there an audition where you got to tell them how much you know about stuff? Like,
I'm just thinking,
like, you know, like, how do you just, you know, like, in order to be on a rap show, you got to know rap.
Right.
It's just like, yo, how does this just come about?
Okay. So here's the story, right? So the long story short is, I am originally from Los Angeles. I live in Atlanta, but I was born and raised in Los Angeles, went back east for the whole HBCU experience.
Okay. Where'd you go?
Morris Brown.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a proud MBC alum.
So you went to Atlanta and just decided you didn't want to leave.
Listen, hello, it's the Chocolate City. Right, although y'all got, you know, some things popping up here too, but you know,
the Chocolate City.
No, we're not going to let you have that. We're going to keep that right in Hotlanta. Okay. So, but long story short is, when I first got there, because I had come out of LA, I was used to the whole idea of movies and television and that kind of thing. It's just kind of what we do. Yeah. You know, you can go on the weekends and be part of a studio audience. You can be on a game show.
You'd be an extra, just...
It's the norm. Yeah. You know, like, my parents, my dad was like, as a kid, he was on The Price is Right. I remember him winning, like, a car and the big spin.
Did he really?
And, yeah. So, you know, those kind of things.
I always wanted to be on it. I wanted to play Plinko.
So, you know, for us, and like he said, you know, he grew up in that area even as a kid. He used to tell us about all the game shows. So, when I got to Atlanta, movies was like how we just made extra money, being extra in a movie. So I started off being an extra in a movie, and it just so happened that I met a young lady there who actually went to another school in the Atlanta University Center, Clark Atlanta. And she was actually she was a mass comm major, but she wanted to do movies. And so we started talking just kind of in a break. We're watching like Shamar Moore walking across the set, and we're just like, sexual chocolate. You know,
that's why I watched
it. So it's a real movie.
Yeah, it was a movie called Twa.
I was holding out. I was like, she's telling this story about how she got on the show, and then she said a movie. I'm like,
No. This was an extra. So my very first, first movie was actually, I was an extra in a movie called Twa, Rainforest Films, which now, what is his name? Come on, help me. He's like a huge. Oh gosh, I feel so bad now. No. Rob. I have to look it up. Oh, I feel so bad now. He's huge now. He's huge. He actually has a show on OWN this season too.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It'll come to us. It's Black History Month too, so I got to pay homage. But long story short, she was working on this movie set as an intern, but she worked at the radio station, and she was trying to get her start. So she said, "As a matter of fact, you know, I'm doing this pilot for a show." And I'm wondering, we got into this great relationship conversation. Mm-hmm. We're talking sex. We're talking relationships. Folks are coming around. And during the break, it's like 20 people that are having this great conversation. And so she says, "Listen, would you be willing to help me out? Could you come to the radio station one day and just help me do this air check? It's nothing real big. We're just going to kind of punch in, play around, take a few calls. And that way I can try to get this job." Mm-hmm. So long story short, we punch in. I come to the radio station. It's a little AM station, nothing big. I had never done radio before. And she's like, "I just want you to do the same thing that you did in the parking lot in that conversation. just talk relationships like you did." Uh-huh. So we get on the air, and we didn't know what we were doing. I can't even believe to this day that the program director let us on the air. It's like, we don't start at the top of the hour. We're not following a time clock, formats, nothing. Yeah. So I just punch on, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm Spirit. I want to, you know, talk about relationship talk and sex. Like, why is black people, like, why is it so hard for us to have these conversations?" And at the time, I was literally in my master's program. I wasn't even a licensed clinician yet. Mm-hmm. I just knew the direction I wanted to go in. Yeah. So we had this great conversation, and long story short, when it was over, she called me back a few days later, and she says, "Well, I got some good news and some bad news." She says, "The good news is that the show got picked up. My program director loved it. But the bad news is they don't have a budget, right? Uh-huh. The person that they were supposed to hire for the show, they wouldn't pay to come out. Mm-hmm. And so she said, so I want to know if you want the gig. And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because they wanted you to do it for no fee.
No. At that point, because I wasn't licensed as a clinician, I was like, there's no way. I did it as a favor to help you. And so she said, well, Spirit, this is like entertainment. This is not like real therapy.
Yeah.
And I said,
this is like the psychic network.
Well, listen, this is like, what's your birthday, right?
Right.
So I told her, I said, no, I absolutely can't do it. I'm still in school and all of those things. And long story short, the program director really was adamant about having me do the show. So he called me in. He said, listen, I know that you've told her every which way but loose that you won't do the show. But I just wanted to put the face to the voice. So just come and just kind of have a conversation with me. So he knew what he was doing already. You know, I'm young and naive. But I sit down with him and we have this conversation.
Hey,
here I come. Right. I was like, I'm like, sure, why not? You know, what could lunch hurt? I'm coming, you know, to your office. We have this conversation and he's asking me about mental health and why I'm so passionate about it and all these things. And then afterwards, he kind of backdoors me and he says, hey, listen, so I've listened to you have this great conversation. And I just have a question. He said, if you worked all day long, how many people could you see?
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, and I was like, what do you mean? He said, if you worked straight through, you didn't take a lunch, you worked your fingers to the bone, how many people could you see? And I said, well, you know, I don't do my notes to the end. Yeah, I could do a good solid eight. And he said, how many people do you think that you helped on that show for those few minutes? And it was the first time that I had given any consideration to how many people were actually listening. And he said, millions, Spirit.
Wow.
At any given point in time, there were millions of people listening to that show. So you say you want to help people. Do you want to help eight a day? Or do you want to help millions? And in that moment, that is when I realized that media can magnify the message.
I stole that from you.
That's it.
That's it. I told you I was going to steal it.
Listen, and it's true. That's what it does. That's what it does. Because even us having this conversation right now, this microphone is magnifying our message. It allows us to reach so many more people than if the three of us were just sitting in a room by ourselves.
So you would say that was one of the definitive times, the definitive moment that changed
your career. It was the absolutely defining moment.
Wow. Awesome.
So I'm curious to know how you... Like, I mean, kind of follow up to Chris's question. So in having conversation, was it just that people were asking you questions and were they expecting you to be the expert?
Yes, they definitely were expecting me to be the expert. But expert is a really loose term, right? You can be the expert in any room. And even in, you know, when I'm working with clients in practice, I tell them, they're the expert in you're the expert in your own life. You're the expert. Listen, now then you definitely are not the expert. No, somebody else is going to be the expert there.
Did you now know that I am now formerly known as
but it's true though. It's true. And so, you know, fortunately I had some really great support systems there. And one of the things that I have always been big on is transparency. So at the time, you know, the program director was kind enough. He said, I don't care. You can tell everybody that you're a student. You can tell everybody whatever you need to feel comfortable. You want to run disclaimers at the top of the hour. I don't care. Do whatever you do. And so I literally was conversational just like we are now.
Yes.
I would talk about being in class earlier that day. And my thing was always, I will give you all of the information that I know. And if there's something that I don't know, I'm going to tell you that I don't know.
Right.
But then I'll go get the answer and I'll come back. So the way that I see, even with mental health, the way that I see life in general is that we are all experts in our own lane, but we can't know everything.
Right.
So mental health is the area that I've studied. Mental health is where I versed myself. And then this is my way of giving back. In the same way of if I need my car repaired, I have to go to the expert in that lane. If I want a good meal, I have to go to the expert in that lane. This is just my way of giving back to my community.
And you probably continue to add to your repertoire just by hearing other people's stories and what they do and what they don't do and what works and what doesn't work. I have a little confession. So when I was younger,
Jane, you do know we have listeners, right?
Right.
I'm telling the business.
I'm going to keep it G-rated.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So when I was younger,
go at least NC-17. It's Valentine's.
Right. Probably like a lot of people, when you think about love and relationship, it's about me. What about me? And what's going to make me happy? Or expecting someone else to make me happy, right? And so what I've learned in my five decades is that you know, it's my responsibility mm-hmm. to make sure that I have joy or happiness.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to have you kind of share with us a little bit about like that selfish part of us that we want to make other people happy. We kind of understand it on a, you know, on a very academic level that mm-hmm. if you're talking about love and relationship, it's not just about you.
Yeah.
But then when we actualize it, then it could be something different. Yeah.
She has answers, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, yeah.
Because those memes that she posts or those words that she posts on mm-hmm. her page, like literally, I got into a beef one day with my wife, and I just went to spirit page and scrolled up and like, screenshotting this one, sending it right off. Stop making me responsible for your own happiness.
There you go.
You get happy, and then we be happy together.
There right, you go.
It was something, not exactly that one, but uh-huh. it was something kind of like that. I'm like, she has the answers.
I love
on
it.
On her page,
I
like
love
literally.
It. I love it.
And it always
it.
Pops up in the evening for some reason. I'm like.
And it's applicable to what's going through.
Sometimes, but it just not even always to me, mm-hmm. but it just be messages. I'd just be like, man, those things be on point. Like they hit hard too.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that people don't think about mm-hmm. that they need to know.
Yeah.
And it puts the onus and the responsibility in the right place.
And it's always on you, right? And that's what it's about. For me, I'm very intentional with my audience. And so my audience knows what they're going to get when they come to me. Just like with you all, your audience knows what they're going to get. And my audience knows that, you know, even with my social media, my pages are not about me. Mm-hmm. My pages are where you come for you to get full, to get new perspective, to get motivation, to get hope, to get information. And so that's what it's really about. So even as we're talking about the question that you said about, mm-hmm. you know, having to understand, are you the keeper mm-hmm. of your love? Are you the keeper of your happiness? Are you the keeper of your joy? Unfortunately, we are very selfish. And mm-hmm. if we cannot own our nature, then we will never be serious and show up in the relationships the way that we need to. So many of us are trying to get the love that we want by trying to love that person. But mm-hmm. it's not really about loving the person. It's about, if I just show you what I want, then maybe you'll give it back to mm-hmm. me. And mm-hmm. so we have to get clear about how we are trying to love and how we're trying to get love.
And look, she has a post for that. A lot of people are grown until it's time to communicate. Like, that's right on point. Like, you think you're
grown. A lot of people are until it's time.
Until you have to communicate mm-hmm. and be vulnerable and express your feelings mm-hmm. and be able to express your hurt.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that. It's grown men, and I was one of them that didn't have that emotional IQ, you know? Mm-hmm. And so communicate, that made me feel some type of way. I say that one all the time, but what is that some type of way?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
So it's. And then she had another one and said, this one right here, when I is replaced with we, even illness becomes wellness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's tough.
That is. Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
Yeah. I'm glad that resonates.
I mean, even in communication, I believe also that we have to understand how our mate or our partner receives mm-hmm. information, right? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, our past, mm-hmm. what we've seen as it relates to relationships within the family, right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that with my husband, for instance, I know how to communicate with him so that he hears me, even if I'm disgruntled.
Oh, that's good. That's
right?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Because if I'm loud or fussy or, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of whether or not I'm right,
right.
It doesn't make a difference.
No, he's going to shut down.
Right. He's going to shut
right
down. Right.
And the reason for that is because you will have activated you will have triggered him, and mm-hmm. you will have activated his fight, flight, or freeze. Mm. So if he shuts down, he's a freeze.
Okay.
Right. And so unfortunately, so many of us don't know ourselves, which is why I'm so big on therapy. I really just truly believe that therapy is literally for everybody. And even when, if you guys tune into Love Goals this season, you'll see one of the biggest things that I talk about is that we cannot talk about how you love as an adult without talking about how you were loved as a child, mm. because that sets the stage for so much about who you
positive
are.
Positive and negative.
Come on.
Right.
Because
come
when
on.
I was in therapy, when we go through therapy, because I believe that you can't practice therapy unless you're in therapy.
Please. If your therapist don't have a therapist,
exactly.
run. Seriously.
So we're in therapy consistently, just relationship with a good time.
Good.
Times are good, times
good.
Are bad. And they really make you identify certain projections that you're putting on other people mm-hmm. or expectations that you have is because of how things were done for you or positively or mm-hmm. how those things are impacting you negatively now that you're now seeking to fulfill that void and gain what you felt like you were missing then, mm-hmm. or you've already established a way of doing these things that were started and perpetuated by somebody else that's not even you,
come on.
That you're now responsible for fulfilling in somebody else's life. So that therapy and understanding why you are the way you mm-hmm. are and how you were made, mm-hmm. I mean, how you were created and those things, definitely has a direct connection to how you behave currently in a relationship. A lot of people think that it's just, oh, my previous relationship, I was hurt and they did this. It goes back way before that.
Yeah, right. And how you choose the partners that you choose. You know, the aha moment for so many people that I love, even self included, is when you realize the likelihood that you have married your parent mm-hmm. or you've married a grandparent. And you go, oh my gosh, how did I marry my mother? I said I would never, ever be like my mother. I can't stand this woman. Why does my partner trigger me in these same ways? Like I'm a child. They talk to me like I'm a child. They treat me like I'm a child. I feel like I'm a child. Or sometimes you don't even realize that you are carrying those same feelings. Mm-hmm. And so you're triggered all over again. So the very interesting thing is really helping people to understand this is how you've come into this moment. This is how you've chosen this person. And I love to tell people all the time that your adult relationships are a reflection of where you are at any given point in your life. They are a reflection of that. And your adult relationships allow you to do one of two things: heal that childhood trauma or continue to perpetuate the dysfunction.
Right, right.
So since we're here, I'm just going to stay here. What you said, relationships are a reflection of where you were then, right? Mm-hmm, but what about when you grow and you're not that same place where you were then, and the spouse might not grow at the same rate with you, and you're somewhere else, and they've been loyal and all this other stuff, hopefully, you know, but you're just not seeing eye to eye. You're not compatible anymore. Mm-hmm. Is that really real to become incompatible?
Listen, it is absolutely real. And what I tell people all the time is if you are in relationship with someone and you're going through therapy, I strongly suggest that they go through therapy too. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then even still, there's no guarantee that you're going to grow in the exact same direction. But it is imperative. I love to work with a single person in therapy. And I will tell them, I tell them all the time, I highly encourage you not to date. I highly encourage you not to date until you get to a certain level in your therapy, because who you are now is not who you're going to be as you gain deeper insights, as you gain healing, as you move and progress to a different way of seeing, thinking, and feeling. Mm-hmm. So the person that you attract now and the person that you're attracted to will not be the same person that you are likely compatible with on the other side of that healing. So you have to be careful. And then with couples, what I like to tell them is, listen, it's not about being in love. It's not even about staying in love, because you can be in love with somebody and still realize we cannot be together. So it's not about that. It is about, do we look lovingly into the same direction? Is where I want to go with the rest of my life, is that compatible with where you want to go? We don't have to see how to get there exactly the same way, but we have to be equally invested in the destination.
I'm curious to know what you're seeing in your practice as you work with couples, married couples specifically, because when I got married the first time, I felt like, well, if we made it past 5 years, then we were good. If you made it past 10 years, then you're good,
no,
right?
No, ma'am.
I have people that I know that have made it to 20 years and 25 years and now they're getting divorced.
Absolutely.
And it's that piece that you just spoke about with regard to, are we lovingly looking in the right direction, or after 20 years or 25 years, we realized, okay, the kids are grown now, so
I don't know.
And that level of dependency is not there, because people are dependent on each other to parent together. And to watch them while I do this and all this other stuff. So you have a partner, not necessarily a marriage.
It becomes the business of the relationship.
You guys don't need each other for anything else except for love. Then now it gets real. You got to look each other in the face and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Spirit.
No, that's absolutely right.
You hiring? Because I'm good at this.
I might have to bring them along. No, the sister might need a sidekick.
Yes. Yes. So I just, you know, just really curious about that.
Mm-hmm. We jumped ahead, though.
We did.
So you do have a practice in Atlanta.
Yes.
Because you're not just this global media figure. You know, you actually have a practice.
From your mouth to God's ears, boy.
We're going to speak it into existence.
Right. Yes.
So you're not just this global media figure. You still have a practice. Mm-hmm. So you're on the road traveling a lot.
Yes.
And then you still have to come back and do therapy. Tell us about the name of your practice, what your focus is, where it's located, and all this other stuff, and how you manage all of that.
Yeah, and it's so funny because before I even can get to the practice part, I got to think about just the family. Yeah. So I should also say I'm a married mother with 7 children.
So you know her advice works. Because she has 7 children. So you know what she's saying.
Spirit, you have some. What are their age ranges? 7.
So I have, let's see, the oldest is 23, okay. And the youngest will be 2 next week.
Okay, so you have a 2-year-old.
Yeah, one that just graduated college, one that just graduated high school. I got one that is in high school, 2 in elementary, and 2 in daycare. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing we can't talk about personally outside of being an empty nester.
We just have to keep you and your husband in prayer.
Listen. No, pray for me because he wants more.
Oh,
no.
God. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he would have another one right now.
If you said yes.
And he, every day it's, so are you going to say yes? Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say yes?
He's like, I'm flying by coastal right now. I can't do it.
Literally.
That's a great brother.
Yes.
I don't want no more smoke. Listen, my last one was a courtesy call. I was done. And I did a favor.
Oh, goodness.
You know, I had a long night. I had a long night of hanging out. And we've been having some conversations. I'm like, yeah, you know, I was, you know, talking my stuff.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And then it came back to actually become real.
No, talk yourself right into it.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
I love it. So, no, but you are absolutely right. In addition to doing the media work, I am a therapist in practice. We have a small group practice. Nothing like, you know, what you guys are doing here. I don't even know if I could even stomach it.
Me and Rack went down there to Atlanta. We just hanging out, going to, we came to see Spirit, came to see Ashanti, and got to come see her space, man. She's building out a phenomenal space, man.
Oh, you're so kind.
Nice windows overlooking the beltway and the trees. It's very peaceful there. Yeah,
it's beautiful. I'm very happy with what it is that we have. And,
a convenience store in the front.
Oh, that part.
Which we'll get to when we talk about nails, toes, and combos.
There we go. But, you know, the whole idea of it is wanting to think about mental health in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's what we have worked so hard to build. I think about mental health as more of a preventative model as opposed to something that you wait until there is an illness, before you work with a clinician. I think you can't get through any part of your journey in life without needing some type of safe, valuable, objective place to be able to really process your experiences about who you are and where you're going. And so even when you look at just the mental health and wellness of children, knowing that 50% of all mental illnesses develop before an individual is 14 and 75% before an individual is 24, there is a lot of work to be done. And so we don't want to wait until individuals are in their 30s and 40s and 50s and beyond before they're talking about their mental health and wellness. So.
People want to always, because I came from a nonprofit organization where I did a lot of speaking as well. And one of the things people wanted me to speak on was the stigma as it related to mental health in the African-American community.
Yes,
what
yes.
I would say to them is that their stigma as it relates to mental health in most cultures.
Everywhere.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's seen as a weakness for the most part or something that people don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But maybe I would say even the last 5 years that I've been working in this space, I've seen some movement of the needle as it relates to people being more open.
Yes.
Right. Even my friends calling me and saying, I'm looking for a therapist for my daughter or
son. Come on.
And I just didn't see that 10 years ago where people felt that free, to say it's more than just she's sad or he's angry.
Yeah.
They need to see a therapist and was wondering, are you seeing that as well?
Absolutely. You know, we like to joke. I say, and in our office, we love to say we make mental health sexy, right?
Okay.
So for us, it's a lifestyle. It's not just, again, you're laughing. Therapy is very sexy.
No. You say sexy, and I thought about the convenience store again.
He's talking about the sex. It's not just that, but he's like, oh, so you have all kind of AIDS, Spirit, whatever it is that you need. Yes, we are in the process of building that out to be a one-stop shop, and I'm going to teach a whole bunch of stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right, to talk about all of that. But the idea is that people are becoming more open about mental health and wellness. And if we can help people understand that your brain is an organ, just like your eyes, your ears, your nose, and, anything else that is a part of your body, it needs maintenance. It needs, a place and space to be evaluated. When things are not going well, it needs care. And so that is what we try to teach people. And so I think, though, also media, and again, us going back to being able to control messaging, but also to be able to disseminate messaging, it has worked really to kind of open the door about what mental health is, mm-hmm. what it's not, right. and how we can actually benefit from it. And so over the years, that's one of the things that I have been most proud of, is to be able to kind of serve as like the fishbowl mm-hmm. for people to go, oh, is that what a therapist does? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, is that how a therapist talks? Oh, is that what we can talk about? Oh, well, wait a minute. I need some of that.
Yeah.
And so being able to provide that safe space has really opened the door for people to walk around and go, oh, I can't wait to talk to my therapist. You know, I have folks that will literally bring friends and family into the office, mm-hmm. into the lobby to go, no, Spirit, I know they're not coming in today. I know it's my session, but they just wanted to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
What other therapists do you have? Who can you refer? They need somebody too. Good. And that's what it's really all
about.
Yeah. That's what it's about. And so the more that we as therapists show up, the more that we hold each other accountable to putting ourselves out there, the more that we go to therapy, and the more that we talk openly about it, the more that we're going to continue to be a service to our community.
I think the way that you and Chris are using your platform mm-hmm. to share in this multimedia space mm-hmm. is very important. It reminds me of, because the Oscars were on last night, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of conversation about how it was underrepresented as it related to different ethnic groups. But I think it's important for the Spirits and the Chris Simons, just like it was important for the Ava DuVernays and the Spike Lees to tell our story.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to see that we have you all, and excited that we have you all to tell our story.
And I think that we have to use our platform to do that, because we have to not just tell our stories, we have to help people understand the need, because people mm-hmm. are suffering that in silence and that don't even know it, you know? Mm-hmm. And imagine you suffering from, you know, issues of high blood pressure, and you don't know that there's anything wrong with you, mm-hmm. and you don't know who to go to get it fixed
mm-hmm.
or to work with you. That's exactly the space that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens that everybody knows about physical health, and they've at one point nobody didn't want to go see about diabetes mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So these different diagnoses people didn't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, HIV was one they didn't want to talk about. I'm pretty sure at some point they didn't want to talk about cancer and all mm-hmm. this other stuff. So we're at that space where people didn't want to talk about it because there's a lack of information
mm-hmm.
around it.
Yeah.
And once we can let people know, hey, there's good information about it, and here's how it positively impacts your life,
mm-hmm.
then people will start opening up more. And I find like that's what's happening. So I feel like we have to use our platforms so that people don't suffer in silence, and that they can understand, you know, the same way if I'm breathing and I'm wheezing, I need an asthma pump. And there's nothing wrong with that. I understand the connection between my shortness of breath and an asthma pump.
Right.
I need to understand the difference between the connection between my anxiety and needing therapy to mm-hmm. fix that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or depression that I just can't shake to fixing that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the trauma I've dealt with and being able to fix that. We have to, and I think that the more we create visuals to explain that and to show how normal it is that we can do that.
Yeah, and I think the normalizing part is so important. I'm so glad that you said that. And understanding that your platform is always you. It's just how loud can it be magnified?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is me all the time, you know? Right. And so even in hearing you talk about that, I think about, you know, getting on an elevator with a gentleman who had recently just had a heart attack. And I hadn't seen him in, you know, since he had the heart attack. And so he gets on the elevator and it was great to see him. And I said, hey, it's so great to see you. You know, how are you feeling? And he says, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm getting my strength back up. I'm, you know, I'm going to the doctor. I'm doing everything that they're having me to do. And I said, that's awesome. And I just want to let you know, just in case nobody has told you, that there is an increased likelihood for depression in men after having a heart attack.
Mm.
And he said, is there? And I said, yeah, there is. And so he waits for the next person to step off the elevator. The door is closed. And he says, listen, I'm so glad that you told me that, because I've been having some feelings, but I thought maybe I was just like kind of, I don't know, being weak or something, mm-hmm. but I've just been feeling sad and I can't shake it. And to be able to explain to him that that is a chemical process, that his body may not be making the dopamine that he needs to, and it's through no fault of his own, and it doesn't mean that you're weak, but it actually means that your body may need some additional care, that was everything for him. And so to see him a few weeks later, and he said, listen, I'm so glad you told me that. I made an appointment with my PCP. He got me on some good meds, and he got me into this group. I didn't even know that something was really wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm depressed for real, for real.
Right, yeah. Right.
And so to be able to just serve as a conduit, to have the information, to disseminate the information.
Jan and I was at an MBA event in, mm-hmm. with Kaiser Permanente in New York. And rest in peace, their CEO, their late CEO, Mr. Tyson, was talking about connecting the head to the body.
Yeah.
And people don't seem to think that the head is actually attached to the body.
Man.
And I think we have to do a better job with that, because that was something that me as a licensed professional and CEO of this organization, I didn't necessarily just innately think about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through a heart attack, that not only should they talk to you about the meds and your workout regimen and things you need to do, they should be actively talking about the need for therapy too.
Yes.
Just how they do with women when they have babies and postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
They warn about these things. They talk about these things. But we need to, you know, be able to connect those dots a lot more.
Yeah.
Because they are directly related.
The right. message that I tell people constantly is that everything is mental health, mm-hmm. and mental health is everything. It's constantly being impacted or impacting. And so if you can make that connection, that head to body, you know, it's important. Even with entrepreneurs, you know, not to say anything about Chris, but, you know, let's be real, that an estimated 1/3 of CEOs have a mental health diagnosis,
mm.
sometimes not even diagnosed.
I would think my staff would disagree with you.
He might be in that number,
right,
huh?
Right.
But can you imagine, though? And so, and we, because we don't
we
understand
just
the
under
impact.
His creativity.
There it goes. You know, he's just a free spirit.
Right, right.
Could be ADHD. Don't tell him. You know, but we don't take into account the mental health and wellness and how we affect so many people around us. We are never just unto ourselves. And so, you know, if I'm a CEO and I have employees, I could literally be driving other people into stress. I could literally be triggering other people, and also being at the helm of so much that is their power as it relates to their employment.
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
don't understand the connections, but our mental health and wellness is everything.
And it kind of exactly the piggyback and transition of what you're saying. I know for me, like when things get, my wife is like, she just has to learn how to manage me, I guess, mm. you know, because let's say things get tense at work or things become stressful, like this Optum stuff
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I can come home and be a body, but not there. Like I'm not as jubilant. I'm mm-hmm. not as, you know, excited. I'll be a part of a conversation, but my whole spirit, for the mm-hmm. lack of better words, is like not there, you
yeah.
know? And so it has a direct, not even just on your staff, but then your personal life
yes.
is directly impacted by the stresses and everything
yes.
that you deal with at work.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, back to some of the couple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How you do something called Free Advice Fridays,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I was just recently trolling you on there. I was headed into.
I won't tell you what I called them.
I was literally headed into a meeting, and I looked down on my Instagram and saw it, and I was like, "Oh crap!" I tried to submit something. I was like, "Oh, you know what? I know she does it on Facebook mm-hmm. because oh, Jan, you
and
didn't
she
know
even says that if you yeah. want to ask her questions, you
go
have
to Facebook
questions
yeah.
through Facebook.
Yeah, so I went
on trolling.
I love it.
So
I
went on to Facebook and my app wasn't updated anymore. I'm like, darn. So I had to go update my app. And all this
oh
my, before
my
meeting.
Hard to troll.
I was 50 Cent on this one. I had to get at it. But you know, the first time me and Spirit met was actually at the conference that we partnered with Taraji mm-hmm. P.
Oh, okay.
Henson to do.
All right. Yes.
And Jan,
and I just saw your name because I was curating
Jan
the workshops.
Jan did all the panels. Okay. She curated the panels and everything else
small
like that.
World.
So mm-hmm. Tracy was like, oh, I'm going to get my girl Spirit to come in
mm-hmm.
on, because it was technology. I believe that was the
yeah,
panel or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, I never really heard of you.
Yeah.
I've heard it on the radio show, but I mm-hmm. never really connected the dots that mm-hmm. that was that. And I come in after coming from Congress, us being on Congress mm-hmm. With Taraji. On Capitol Hill, came back into the hotel. I was just like, I'm just walking around just trying to check on things. I was like, I was feeling like a partner. I was like, go check on the registration tables, go check on this, go check on that, you know?
Right.
Trying to soak in the partnership. You
were a partner. Yeah,
so I went down to the registration table, and Spirit was there, and we just got to talking about something, and she pulled out her phone and was like, just talking, and we just were vibing. It was right. Friday, so it was the Free Advice Fridays. Mm-hmm. So she told him that we're going to meet in the lobby at such and such time. We were going to do Free Advice Fridays, and I was really excited, and that was a really great moment. I came back, we were in the lobby, and people were just asking questions, and we were just tag teaming and just mm-hmm. crushing it yeah. that day, yeah. and just seeing how she used that Free Advice Fridays platform, you know, I was inspired. I was like, man, this is good. Like, she's really using this in a way for people that can be live and then people that can go back and just connecting with people in your right, social exactly. network. Mm-hmm. And just the questions they were asking and everything was just very, very helpful.
Yeah,
explain how you started that, how you decided, you know what, I want to amplify the message via this.
Yeah.
And give me one of the wildest questions. Give me one of the I understand you get questions like, well, how do you know if we're supposed to be in a relationship and stuff like that? And you were telling me that people self-sabotage. Well, not you didn't tell me this is what you said Friday, that people self-sabotage. They say they want this and then they get it and they uh-huh. really don't want it. Uh-huh. So that
be
was a pretty normal question. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty normal questions. I'm yeah. curious, like, what's some of the wild stuff that people are asking, and how did you actually start this Free Advice Friday?
Okay, so, you know, what's wild is interesting because I'm a therapist, so
not
I tell my
wild.
Clients,
yeah.
right, nothing right, like right. things that would be wild to other people, I would go, oh, okay, was that wild? I don't know.
You're
what's wild. Maybe. I mean, I just, to me, like, human nature in and of itself
so
is
unique,
there's
yeah.
a, yeah, it's just a range of normality. So,
yeah.
you know, it's not things that are wild per se that get me, but it's the things that that sometimes is about us having self-love, right? Mm-hmm. That other people would go, wow, I can't really even wrap my brain around that. So, you know, hearing people talk about being in a relationship with 3 or 4 partners, and that is something that I just start talking about in a normal way, and other people go, wait, did they just say they got 3 partners? What?
Yeah.
Hold on, Spirit. Or, you know, somebody talking about...
Hold on, Spirit. How they got that much money? Because these motherfuckers are expensive.
Well, you know, if everybody's working, it depends on what you're selling.
Right, and
is.
Then people,
you know,
start
your
lowering
family,
their standards.
Or they could be taking like, care of that one person.
Right, exactly.
Hello?
I mean, right. you know, everybody does it differently. Two might work in the house. One might work outside the house.
Okay.
You know, it's just whatever works for you.
Sounds like
but,
trapped in a basement.
but how We're Free Advice attic. Friday really came about was actually, you know, having a great partner and having a great team that basically propels me into technology, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, as I said, I'm a therapist. I'm not anything else. And so having to have people around you that go, this is how this needs to be magnified. This is how you will reach more people. This is what people are doing now. So, you know, understanding how young people access information, understanding how and where older people access information, understanding what technology is supposed to do. I can't know how to do all of that. So I have a really great team. But how I got started was actually after doing the Ricky Smiley morning show and working as their love, sex, and relationship expert for maybe about a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is literally I started out on Twitter, and people would always contact me on Twitter to ask questions. Now, this is before Facebook even had the live app.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would ask me questions. And in the beginning, you know, when it's just me and I didn't have a lot of followers, I would just be talking back and forth to them. They'd ask questions and I'd go, okay, I'm gonna give you 140 characters because that's all I got. I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time. I'm just gonna succinctly give you that. And then it started to be so many questions that I would say, well, listen, I'm a therapist, like in practice, I can't sit up all day mm-hmm. and have these conversations. So every Friday, you can just tweet me and I'll answer questions on Friday. So that became Free Advice Friday on Twitter.
How many people do you think follow you now on Fridays?
It depends. Mm-hmm. So I would think on average, it's not a huge number. Mm-hmm. I may have maybe roughly about 1,000 mm-hmm. followers at any given time. But if I go back and look at some of the shows, you know, if somebody picks it up and streams it somewhere, I've had as many as like 10,000
yeah,
that have
you
watched.
Can watch it. You don't have to watch it live.
Right, yeah,
right.
You can go back to
watch
yeah.
it and share mm-hmm. it and all
yeah.
that stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the idea is it's just literally every Friday, I just go live on social media. I always am asking other clinicians, the key is that you have have to be a licensed clinician. And the idea of it was to be open to the general public so that they could see what different clinicians look like, that we come in all different shapes, sizes, speak different languages, have different competencies. And this would be a platform that they could come and ask any question that they had related to mental health and wellness. And it's just literally a live mental health chat. And so you can either ask the question right there in the format with everybody, or if you want to remain anonymous, you can DM or IM the question. Yeah. And so our staff will. No, he wanted to put his out there. He said, I want you to know that I'm asking you, that I'm trolling you. But, you know, it's really just a way for individuals who may not necessarily have access to mental health, or are not sure if they even need to consider getting mental health care, to just interface with live clinicians, licensed clinicians, to just give them a little bit of perspective, some tips, some tools, mm-hmm. resources, yeah. techniques, mm-hmm. and just say, maybe for what you're talking about, maybe now might be the right time to consider right. getting with a great
and
therapist.
And it could be just a little turn of the
just
screw.
Just a nugget.
Just a tweak. A
right. Listen, sometimes it doesn't have to be a big, huge aha. Sometimes it's just the little whisper that says, I never thought about it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking that it's always the other person that's the problem. You know, spirit, it's my not. Husband does this, or it's my not. Wife. It's never the other person. It's always about you. And so what I always want to do is bring it back to you. You're asking the question, but because you are a part of the equation, it's about how you're showing up. How are you thinking, feeling, and behaving? How have you chose yourself and brought yourself not just to that moment that you're asking about, but the moment that you're with me? And where do you go when you leave me?
I don't know about this, Jan. I'm starting to question spirit now. Uh-huh. She's trying to tell me
Look,
it's me
it's
and
hard.
Not her.
Right. Right. No, it's, no.
People
it's
be
not her.
Trying me, Gina.
And then I go, why do they try you? Right. Right? How did they come into the relationship where they thought they could? But it's really more so about helping individuals own their power, right? Because if I can help you see you, then I can help you see your options to curate your life in the direction you want it to go.
I think it's also like accountability is important mm-hmm. in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So now my husband and I, we're empty nesters. My youngest son is at North Carolina A&T. And we kind of divvied up, you know, some of the responsibility. So mm-hmm. I wash, you fold, mm-hmm. right? And so when the clothes are sitting there and they're not being folded, mm-hmm. then you're looking at me and I'm saying, well, remember when we said I wash, you fold.
Right, right? That's your part.
And that's just a small example, mm-hmm. but I think that I'm not going to get frustrated about it mm-hmm. because I have... you know, more flexibility with mm-hmm. the whole wash cycle than you do.
But you know, that takes back to a good point on, like we went to premarital counseling mm-hmm. and one of the things that they said that changed my life and it will still change my life if I consistently implement it and be mindful of it, is expectations.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
When you get into a relationship that you should have a conversation about expectations mm-hmm. because just because you know, just no role responsibilities mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. me, but somebody may think your wife cooks mm-hmm. and she may be expecting you to cook or mm-hmm. she might not be a cooker, but you're expecting her to cook. And now when she doesn't cook, you're frustrated and y'all arguing.
Absolutely.
And she may have an expectation that you take out the trash or even this weird one that she may have an expectation that you cut the grass. And you're like, man, I'll pay someone to cut the grass.
Right, exactly.
But for her to see you cut the grass right. may do something
exactly.
for her. And so having that conversation about expectations mm-hmm. drastically is should be done. I would even say it should be updated, like a
That's
treatment
what I was
plan.
Gonna say, fluidity yeah. of expectation, mm-hmm. right? Yes, because yes. what worked at one point in our relationship may not work now.
Yeah.
What I needed or wanted then, yeah. I may not need or want now. How
yeah,
you can do or what you can deliver, you may not be able to do that now.
We're going through that, Janine, with the selfish beauty. She's at exactly. work and grinding now.
Exactly.
And I'm like, so you want me to pick up the kid?
Right. Well, how am I going to do? I didn't have to do that before.
What? Hold on. So I got to get up early and take him on certain days
there
now?
There you go.
I'm like, oh, you, see, this is what I'm talking about. You're killing me now.
There you go.
You know,
there
we got to have those. But hey. That's
real.
That's part of communication.
Absolutely.
And we're learning our new norm, right?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that have signed up for this new event that we're having, this special edition of Nail Toes and Convos.
I love it.
That we couldn't even do it in Selfish no more. Mm-hmm. We got over 80 people RSVP.
Actually, this it's sold out. I got over 100 now.
We RSVP, wow. And I had to tell Sanjay to open it up for the RSVP because we know some of our people ain't going to show up.
Right. It's raining. I can't get my hair wet.
Right.
Exactly. So we know some people ain't going to show up, but so just to make sure we got a good crowd, yeah. Open it up. But we're going to be talking about we're doing it at Citron now because it just Spirit's too big of a personality and dynamic for us to just do it in Selfish. So this is going to be at Citron, and you're going to be talking about love, communication, and sex.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As if they're related in any capacity.
Man, they're not related at all. See, they can't see that I'm over here just twisting my fingers all up. Yeah.
How related? I mean, you're twisting your fingers, but mm-hmm. people don't seem to think that communication is directly related mm-hmm. to sex because a lot of people, they just want to, you know, I have some homeboys, I'm not going to throw them under the bus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just some people have this mentality, just come home, bam, bam, thank you, man, whatever, right?
Right.
But it's sometimes, it's not even sometimes, you got to create that intimacy and that connection and that relation vibe before you even get there.
Right, exactly.
And you know what's so crazy? As a growing man and somebody that's getting older, like, I don't like just to, you know, without being too, you know, going too far into this podcast.
Oh, no, go far. Let's get to know
but
Chris.
Don't like to, I don't just want to get right to it. I need a connection at this. I need a connection at this point, you know?
Good.
And I started thinking to myself, like, man, do I need something like,
he's
something
like, can
going
you
on
hold
me
first?
Yeah. Exactly. But that ain't how I used to be that way in college and stuff like that. Now it's just like, I'm like, yo, hold on. What's happening here?
Right. Well, I mean, the need was different.
There's a progression, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, with regard to age, maturity, experience, that
desire,
right?
What
and
we
you
need.
Just have different things that you need.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this is normal.
Yeah, this is absolutely
all right.
Because
I was about
normal.
To start looking up Nugenics and all the rest of this stuff. See, I need to boost my testosterone or something. I'm not feeling as much of a man like that, you know, like
because,
man, like rah rah.
Now,
like,
this
you know?
Is a whole issue already because yeah. you want to be held because you want emotional
I don't
want
to be
intimacy.
Held. I would like to lay next to each other.
Oh Lord,
you trying to make it seem like
this is the problem.
I want her spooning me.
You want to be the big spoon, Chris?
Yeah,
always.
I'm the big spoon. Trying to make it seem like she come
right,
here, baby.
Right.
I got
let's
you.
Let's not get it twisted here.
But see, there should be nothing wrong with that. If you are a man who says every so often, I want to be held. I'd like to know what it feels like to be kissed, to be caressed, to have her initiate, to have her show me that she wants me. That is human nature.
I do.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's critical. And so if we don't get
but
real
about that.
You're not
about to be running your fingers through my hair, holding me and everything
else
like that.
She's not going to be putting her finger in certain places and trying to caress and
yeah, but
and
I'm
open
talking about like rubbing your
you.
Fingers through my hair. It was like, how was your day, baby? You know?
Oh,
like,
she's not going to do
that's
that?
Not your, that's not
that's
your
not
thing.
Your thing.
You guys are being too critical of my words. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to.
I don't know.
I want to still be the spooner, not the spoonee.
Because what does that mean to you to be the spooner and not the spoonee?
We're not about to get into a session with me, Spirit. Listen.
You have to put your questions in the pool.
So is there something wrong with being held? Or
right.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm adding fuel
that's
to the Chris's fire
question.
Right now.
That's Chris's
going.
Question.
I love it. So when I was creating these questions mm-hmm. and, you know, just thinking about how we would progress with the interview, one of the things that came, I don't know why this came to mind, but the movie When Harry Met Sally, and they were in the restaurant.
The
and
orgasm
they,
scene?
Yes,
can I
yes.
say that on your podcast?
Well said.
It's a clinical term. I mean, we're talking sex.
Right.
You know.
And she's sitting there, and she's like, you know, going through this motion of...
She's simulating an orgasm.
Yes, she is. And then the old ladies that are looking, and then someone comes up to them and asks them, what are they having? And
oh,
they
yeah.
say, I'm
I
having
what
she's
having,
right? I don't know why that came to mind, but mm-hmm. I was thinking about it in terms of like...
people faking it.
Faking it, right?
Oh, yeah.
People faking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And why women... Because I'm assuming men don't fake it. I'm thinking it's a female
thing. Oh, yes,
they
do.
Okay, all
I've
right.
I've met
well,
some men that have faked it.
And then why
reasons.
Women feel like they have to fake it. It's mm-hmm. like to, you know, to help prop up a man's ego. Mm-hmm. And what's the alternative to faking it?
Well, you know, people fake it for a variety of different reasons, so I never look at it across the board. Okay. I've had women who will fake it because they don't know what it's supposed to feel like, and so they want to be desired by him, and mm-hmm. they want to be quote-unquote normal. They may fake it to save his ego. They may fake it in order to get sex over with because he's going to keep going until she has an orgasm, right? Yeah. Like, everybody is different depending on the two people that are in the room.
Right, like, how much longer is this going to be?
Right. You know, she's doing the grocery list, and she was done, like, 20 minutes ago, or maybe she's a woman who does not achieve orgasm through penile penetration, but mm-hmm. she hasn't explored herself, or they haven't explored enough to know how she needs to receive sex in order to reach it or achieve orgasm. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of different reasons. So what I will say is, until we get honest with ourselves, mm-hmm. we will continue to fake it. And what I encourage people to do is stop faking it, mm-hmm. not just about orgasms, but stop faking your life, period. Yeah. Right. And so that is why I'm here, you know, so I can teach you how to live the life you perpetrate on social media. Don't act like you got a fake glow. Let's get a real one.
Right. Exactly.
I can show you. And so it's really about, what do you want to feel? And then how do you see sex as something that's fun? Far too many of us think that we are so much more sexually sophisticated mm-hmm. than we really are, or we think that we are already supposed to know, but nobody's ever taught us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, if you don't know how to make a woman climax, if you don't know different ways to make her climax, if you don't know that there are different ways to climax, mm-hmm. you know, we start talking about, I don't want to get really technical, but, you know, looking at different quadrants on your clitoris and understanding how that looks and why different things will do different things on different people. Mm-hmm. And folks go, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be having sex with every woman differently? Well, I've been having sex with women the same exact way every woman I've been with.
This blueprint doesn't work.
Right. They go, I've never gotten complaints before now. Right, and right. I go, she probably just didn't tell you.
Right, exactly.
Either she didn't know or she didn't want to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. it's how do you help people understand that we are constantly communicating, whether it's verbal or nonverbal? What messages do we want to send? And how do you just continue to enhance every area of your life, including your sexual intimacy
with
your partner?
Let me ask you this, because when I was growing up, everything wasn't as accessible as it is now.
For sure,
like,
for sure.
You would have to find the right shoebox inside of my dad's closet. With the VHS tapes and everything else like that, right?
Well, you found them, though.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And you had to watch it before they came home and all that other
right,
stuff.
Right, and put it right back
exactly.
to
exactly.
Exactly. Right, myself,
right,
too.
Right where okay. it was at. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but now it's everything is just so accessible.
Yeah, it's wide out there. Wide
Do you
open.
Feel like that accessibility is hurting relationships? And if so, how?
Well, I think, you know, to some degree, it depends. It can enhance the right relationships, but I do also think that it can be harmful to the wrong relationships, because so much about sex, again, we're not getting our information in the right places. So it's distorting the idea of what sex is. It's distorting who we think we're supposed to be, how we think we're supposed to show up. We're doing all of these things that don't necessarily feel comfortable to us, you know, or we don't even understand why we're doing it. You know, I have women who will come in and say, well, my partner likes a certain thing. And I say, okay, so how do you feel about doing that thing? Oh, I hate it. Well, why do you hate it? Well, because it's not about me and it feels unnatural to me. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you communicate that to your partner? Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, he doesn't look like he's enjoying it either. And then I'll go and do an individual session with him, and he's not enjoying it either. And I'm like, so why are you doing it if you're not enjoying it? Well, because I want her to think I'm the man, you know? Well, mm-hmm. where did you learn that? Yeah. Well, I was watching, you know, Pornhub, or I was watching this. Yeah. Or so you don't like it, and she don't like it. Oh, I didn't know she don't like it. Oh, so I can stop? Oh, well, absolutely, right? Or wanting to know how to do a particular thing but not having anybody to show you. I want to be a better lover. I want to know how to do this. I would do this, but the thing I don't like about it is this. And then to be able to say, well, did you know if you just add this, then that would solve that problem?
I was thinking about that when you're having these discussions with your clients, mm-hmm. and really helping them understand how to talk their way through it.
Oh,
so
yes.
Just kind of
half
saying,
the time
not
it's
there,
the language.
Here,
listen,
not up, down.
Listen, yeah, to say things like, you know, and again, we'll save
time.
It.
We have this time. Slide to the right.
It's now seeing
crisscross. Everybody clap your hands.
And then show them how to break it down, right? But to make it fun. And, you know, half the time, we're just so embarrassed even by the language,
exactly.
Right?
Is it also, I also find, like, I mean, I have guy talk, and mm-hmm. as a therapist, people think they can talk to me about whatever sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's also like the availability of the time that you're giving to something. I found like some people, they just like want to perform a task and it's done. It's like something on a checklist, like this is something I need to do, or I need to fulfill this need that I have. And when it's done, I don't think about it again until it's time to fulfill that need again. And that doesn't allow you, or you're just so inundated in your schedule that you're not making time to be emotionally available in that sexual type of way.
Yeah.
You find that a lot with some of your clients as well?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not a problem in and of itself if both people are on the same page. You know, I will have couples who say, listen, we're in a season where we've got kids, where we've got businesses, we've got all this. Sex is about maintenance. So can I just, I need to get off like two or three times in a week in order to be able to function. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
So they may decide, listen, we're not trying to have really long drawn out sexual sessions. I got to get up at 2, you got to get up at 2:15, so we're just gonna hit it and
quit.
But
if they're both on that same page,
then it's fine.
Gotcha.
Right? Because then we can just have a quickie. We can step into the bathroom and that's fun, or we can step into the car and that adds spice. But if I'm really needing long slow sessions, I'm really needing foreplay, I'm really needing conversation or cuddling afterwards, and you are on the short bus and we haven't communicated that that's what we're doing, then it can cause a disconnect in our relationship.
Well, also, I mean, also about like the time that you're burnt out from everything in life, that now this is now, see, like you're not making yourself available.
That's about protecting your sexual space.
To even have those
space.
Conversations to say, hey, I would like it if you did this.
Right.
Or just that you're burnt out, so now it's not even happening.
Right. And I talk with my clients about that all the time, about having to protect your space and your energy for your relationship. Because if you give to everybody else and then you come to your partner, and what your partner is getting is always the tired version of you, the irritable version of you, the stressed out version of you, then you're not doing your job and honoring your relationship. And so your partner needs to hold you accountable, and your relationship needs to be held accountable to that. You know, a Friday night is our date night, but by the time we get to Friday, you can't stay awake in the movie, so we can't go to a movie. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So it's really about how do we protect the space that we need to create and build the kind of relationship we
want. I know the thing that was really profound for me, it was that one time when my husband's, and I'm always doing something.
Yeah.
I'm a workaholic, admittedly, and I'm always doing something, you know, involved in other organizations, church. And he said, I need a part of you too.
Come on. Absolutely.
And that
for him
really
to call
stopped
you to the
me.
Mat.
Right. Stop me in my tracks. And also helped me to understand that there is a point where there's a hard stop in the evening.
Yes.
Because he does need a part of me too.
Then that means that you responded. You heard his call and you responded. And real deal is, if you love your partner and you love your relationship, you need that too.
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes we get so caught up, you know, we're giving to everybody else trying to hit all the marks, that we forget, I have to have that. That is self-care for my relationship. Yeah. Your relationship needs a relationship.
Yeah.
It needs its own time.
People think that the relationship, they'll just be, it's just understanding. You're just supporting. And it's like, this is just what we are. Versus something that we do as well. Like, do you have to make the time?
You absolutely have to. You cannot give the very best that you have to the people that mean the least to you in your life, and then give the least to the people you say mean the most, and expect that they'll understand. It's just not fair.
So tomorrow we can count on you giving us the best that you have.
I'm going to give
you everybody
everything I got. Listen,
so they can
I
ask questions or whatever they want to do.
Any question that, listen, there is nothing that is too, as other people would say, there is nothing that's too graphic. There's nothing that's too embarrassing. There's nothing that's too intense. There's nothing that is too off the wall or abnormal. I don't care if it's something that you have been holding back for 20 years and you want to know.
This feeling of a little boy that
listen, I would tell you some of the conversations, but that's something totally different.
Yeah.
But there is nothing that is off the table. If there has been something that has been eating at you, something that you want to know how to do, something that you're trying to make better, this is your opportunity. This is it.
Right. This is it.
Everybody's not going to go sign up, one, feel comfortable, and say, hey, let's go see a sex therapist.
Mm-mm.
Find one that you feel comfortable with, and then go start the process and go consistently. So this is that time where you can just get all the answers.
That's it.
To your
Bring
questions.
Your burden question. Spirit, how do I do?
Right.
Spirit, how do I get him to? Spirit, how do I get her to?
Yeah.
How do we? Listen, we got this. We tried anything you got, you bring it.
So I'm going to ask you the question again that I trolled you with, just to conclude towards the end of this. Where can people in Baltimore hear some of this information and see you?
Okay, come on. So you guys got to give them the address, right?
Okay,
now,
right.
Now tell me, this is this whole Citron place.
Citron restaurant that's in Quarry Lake. And actually what they need to do is, if they hear this podcast, is to go to Eventbrite.
Okay.
So it's Nails Toes Convos V-Day.
There we go.
.eventbrite.com.
Come on.
2605 Quarry Lake Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 212.
That accent. Maryland.
21209.
And it's the good F word, free.
Mm. Ooh, gotta love free. So you're getting all of this that I pay Sally Mae and Navian and everybody else for right. free. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come and get it.
And that they pay you to go around the world.
Hey,
just get.
Listen.
You're getting it for free.
Listen,
right.
Come and get it.
Compliments.
There you go. There you go. I said it ain't free. They made it happen.
Right. Yeah. Come it on. Ain't free. Ain't nothing in life free.
Respect on my name. We don't need people thinking that. Out.
Right.
And I'll just be giving this juice out for free all the time.
Right. No. Not at all.
Brand standards we need to keep.
Spirit, we want to thank you for being our guest on the Meeting You Where You Are podcast. And if you want to give out your social media handle so people can be in contact and so other people besides me and Chris can troll you Advice Friday.
Don't troll because I'll troll you back. Ask Chris, he'll tell you. But no, seriously, you can find me at Talk To Spirit on all of my social media. It's Talk the Number 2 Spirit. And do not forget, March 7th is the series premiere of Love Goals on OWN. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
And that is Spirit's very own TV show. So we're excited for you and happy for you.
Thank you.
Please subscribe to Meeting You Where You Are podcast on Podomatic and the Apple Podcast app. And until next time, please have peace and joy, and we'll see you in the future.
Amen.
Cool.